Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Storyboards with S. Darcombe, brought to you by A Team of Voices. A Team of Voices is a group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And thank you, Deborah Lee, for running the group and the blog talk page so we can geek out live. Also, thank you to AP Taylor for sponsoring the blog talk page. And we have many shows here every night of the week with different hosts, different themes. If you would like to join in, you could join All Poetry for free and knock on our door, A Team of Voices, and Deborah Lee will let you in. You could follow along on a chat board, see the topic board, add your poetry, and read along with the poems that we drop. Tonight, we are celebrating Swan Lake, the 1981 animated version, because it was my favorite. I am your host, Sky, and I hope you liked that opening by Tchaikovsky. We will be celebrating that suite here tonight and the film. I have some swan poems for you, so it's going to be fun. And we already have our first caller. Hello, Raconteur.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. For a change.
Good. Well, I am still recovering, so if my voice, again, disclaimer, I know I was on the air yesterday, so anybody who was listening in yesterday does know my voice is still recovering, and I am still prone to coughing fits. So, if you bear with
Nonsense.
Me, I still wanted to do this. I felt good enough to do the show. I felt like my voice was okay enough for this week. I didn't want to cancel 2 weeks in a row. I've been looking forward to the show. So, yeah.
She's doing her impersonation of a frog.
I wouldn't say I'm that bad today. I'm more worried about the coughing because it's pretty intense when I start coughing. But I'm feeling pretty good. Yep, we got some poetry. I've got some poetry readings. One by AP Taylor, which I'm super excited to get to as well. And I feel like this Swan Lake version is not as well known. Like I said yesterday, and I'm going to say it on this show because it is the correct show to be saying it, but I seen this show when I was very young. It is an animated show and a film, animated film. And it was a Japanese film, and it was dubbed over in English, English voices. And there's some different versions. Are you okay? Something's happening over there.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I want to just put you on mute just for a minute. But it's was my first introduction to classical music, and the first time I heard classical music, I believe I was very young, and I think it was the song that made me fall, like, I think I know it was the song, the film, the Swan Lake suite was a song that made me fall in love with classical music, and to this day it stands as my favorite song ever across all genres, but I think it's just so beautiful and moving, absolutely gorgeous. So the film is only like an hour and 15 minutes long. I do have some clips from the film, like always, so that you can kind of have an idea and enjoy the film along with us. So I'm going to unmute you and see how you're doing over there. See if you got that under control. Are you okay over there?
Yeah, for the time being, I don't know if in 10 minutes it's going to decide to go crazy or not, but I've got the call screen, so I can mute myself too. So, yeah, I shouldn't be interrupting you anymore.
Awesome, awesome. Well, a little bit about this film. It has two different existing English translated versions on DVD. Both are only available for purchase online in a bootleg copy format. So, as there was never an official American DVD release for either, on VHS, one of the English translated version was released in America officially, but still has a reputation for being very hard to find, at least in its original form, not bootleg copy. And I must have had a VHS, and I should have kept it, right? But when VHSs went out, we all got rid of them. I should have kept them. Probably saying that about many things. But I still find it. I think one of those free apps, I forget which one it is on. It's on YouTube as well. The quality, obviously, is not perfect, but it's still wonderful to watch. But, yeah. So, here we go. And I'm going to start off. I usually start off with a clip from the film. Start off with a poem today. Like I said, I have a lot of swan poems. So we're going to start off with The Wild Swans of Cool by W.B. Yeats, and it's read by Tom O'Bedlam, which I already told you guys how much I love him yesterday, and you know, he just reminds me of ice cream people. My Burkowski, but it's okay. All right, so here we go. I hope you enjoy.
The Wild Swans at Cool by W.B. Yeats. The trees are in their autumn beauty. The woodland paths are dry. Under the October twilight, the water mirrors a still sky. Upon the brimming water among the stones are 59 swans. The 19th autumn has come upon me since I first made my count. I saw before I had well finished bulls suddenly mount and scatter wheeling in great broken rings upon their clamorous wings. I have looked upon those brilliant creatures, and now my heart is sore. All's changed since I, hearing at twilight, the first time on this shore, the bell beat of their wings above my head, trod with a lighter tread. Unwearied still, lover by lover, they paddle in the cold, companionable streams or climb the air, their hearts have not grown old. Passion or conquest, wander where they will, attend upon them still. But now they drift on the still water, mysterious, beautiful. Among what rushes will they build, by what lake's edge or pool? Delight men's eyes when I awake some day, to find they have flown away.
I love that one. It's such a gorgeous piece. Wonderful images. And, of course, what a great way to open the show, because I think that is the most, I think out of all the ones tonight, that one focuses mostly on the swans rather than just mentioning a swan. So I very much wanted to open with that one. Again, I mean, classical poets, some, you know, their cadence, their verbiage and rhyme. Some people like them, some people don't, but I absolutely love Yeats. I mean, I don't know many people who don't. So, yeah, what do you think, Rock?
You know, people get famous for a reason, whether it's the form or the familiarity, the ease of which, you know, what they read, or just the appeal of it and the way that they describe something. And, you know, the swans, you know, conjure up so many different images in romance when you talk about a woman's necks. People tend to try and compare that to the swans. That's something that comes to mind when I hear Swan Lake. The beauty and grace of them. You know, sometimes you forget waterfowl. You see them in the water, but you also, you know, when they take off, it's almost like a different animal. So there's that contrast too that comes to mind when I hear a poem about swans and things like that. So there's a lot going on, like you said, that and it really gets your mind going and get you focused on the idea of the bird itself and what it kind of represents in nature.
Awesome. I love the way that he says the 19th autumn has come upon me since I first made my count. To put a counter on time, to put a nail in age, I just think it's very brilliant rather than just coming out and saying it. And of course, the October season is my favorite season. If you don't know, I think many people do know. So the fact that he's just putting this beautiful scene in here. I couldn't help but think of the very last line, and this has nothing to do with the poem, just because To Find They Have Flown Away. The film, I don't know why, but Fried Green Tomatoes, I love that film. And there's a story about the ducks coming in the lake and it freezing, and it's a tall tale, you know, and they fly away with the lake. So even though it has nothing to do with this, I couldn't help but on that last line just kind of think of that book and movie. But really, really well done. All right. I'm going to keep my eye out here. So I have, as always, I have scenes from the film. So we're going to play our first scene, and they're in order, and it's just kind of so you guys can enjoy the film, but audio version. So here we go. I'm going to press play, and then we'll drop another poem.
Oh, she really is beautiful. Oh. Did you say something, Margarita?
The swan that's wearing that crown.
Huh?
Isn't she magnificent?
Just a minute.
Where are you going, Hans?
Well, it might be a little big, huh? And here you are.
What is it?
Now, Princess Margarita, close your eyes.
Close my eyes. I can hardly wait.
Dum 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 dum.
Can I open my eyes? What's wrong, Hans?
Well, I'm sorry.
What? I never. What is this? I don't like you at all, Hans. Oh, maybe that could be Prince Siegfried from the castle. I don't like you, Hans.
Wait for me, Margarita. Margarita.
Oh,
now we're even.
Very strange.
No. There's nothing strange about it at all. That swan with the crown practices witchcraft. Come to think of it, no one has ever been to the other side of that lake.
But still, I can't possibly believe that magnificent, noble swan can practice witchcraft.
But, Prince, it's a fact that Adolf was turned into stone when he tried to shoot that swan. It would be best for you never to go near that lake again.
Prince Siegfried, the queen has come to visit you.
Benno.
Yes? What is it?
That strange swan with the crown. I must see it again.
What are you saying?
That swan fascinates me.
But that swan can practice witchcraft.
If it really practices witchcraft like you say it does, I want to see it and plead with it to release Adolf from that terrible spell.
You can't do that. What if something should happen to you?
No, Tenno. I cannot believe that a beautiful swan can practice witchcraft.
But
don't try to stop me, Benno.
Oh, look. The swan became a beautiful lady.
It's the forest of witchcraft. Let's go back.
Don't be afraid. Remember, Prince Siegfried is with us. Siegfried.
Why is it you know my name? And you, just who are you? Why were you like a swan just now?
My real name is Princess Odette.
Odette? Odette, tell me, are you a human being or are you really a swan?
I am a human being like you, but an evil wizard transformed me into a white swan.
An evil wizard did that?
Yes. And it is only during the hours of darkness that I am permitted to take the shape of a human being again.
And then, the one who turned Adolf into stone?
It was Rothbart's doing.
Rothbart?
Didn't you see a strange-looking owl in the forest?
Why, yes, I did see an owl.
That was the wizard Rothbart, the owl's evil spirit.
The owl's spirit?
You must go back quickly, Prince Siegfried. The wizard Rothbart could be watching us even now.
Then this castle belongs to Rothbart?
This is the castle of the wicked wizard.
Oh, I hope that Prince Siegfried will be safe.
Let me take care of Rothbart.
Please wait, Prince Siegfried.
Don't stop me. I must release Adolf from the spell.
No. Rothbart could never be harmed by any ordinary human being.
How do you know he can't be harmed?
We tried to fight against Rothbart, and he destroyed my country.
Your country? He destroyed your country?
I was the princess of another country. And 3 years ago, Rothbart came and asked for my hand in marriage. He was very persistent. My father and I both refused. And then our country was totally destroyed, and he kidnapped and brought me here.
But why does Rothbart change you into a white swan like that?
He believes it will prevent me from ever meeting any other men.
But why?
If a man should appear who really and truly loved me with his whole heart and soul, Rothbart would lose his evil power. And he turns me into a swan during the days so that no one will fall in love with me.
Is that true? Really?
Yes. When Rothbart brought me here to his castle, he changed me into a white swan to prove his power.
If that's true, my love will destroy Rothbart.
Don't say that, because then Rothbart will...
No. When I first saw you today as a beautiful swan on the lake, I felt a strong attraction toward you. When you looked at me, with those eyes, with those same beautiful eyes, Odette. Odette. Tomorrow night, at my castle, there will be a grand ball to celebrate my birthday, and I must choose a bride. Will you please come, and then I will choose you to be my bride.
No. You mustn't. You cannot.
Odette, I beg you, come to the castle, and there we will pledge our love, and then there will be nothing more to fear.
Even though I would like to go to your castle, Rothbart would never let me go. Farewell, Prince Siegfried.
Odette, wait.
Please go quickly.
Rothbard is a terrible man.
Tomorrow. Will you come? I'll be waiting, I swear. I have no intention of marrying anyone else but you. Please come tomorrow.
You must go. Unless you leave now, I can't promise to come.
I'll go. But you must promise me to come.
Yes.
I'll be waiting!
Awesome. So a fun fact, I had another fun fact, but I totally forgot what I was going to say. fun fact though, for real. So this was Tchaikovsky's first ballet composition. And some think it was based on the German fairy tale, The Stolen Veil. I don't know if I've read that. It's always a hit or miss, right? Because I don't know if there's an English translation. All the Grimm's brothers have been translated in English, and that's why we get them. But I'll have to check into that. Where the original Little Mermaid came from, and I forget the name of it now. I can't think of it. But that was a French novel, a novella, really, and that got translated into English, so I was able to get my hands on that, but I'll have to see. And others argue that it's derived from a Russian folklore called the White Duck. But both those cases, that the story was very different. Similar themes, but the story was very different. But, you know, that's what critics say. And what I think is interesting is that it initially did not do well. People thought the music was too fast and too quick, and its time, like so many things, it was not appreciated until after his death. They thought, critics thought that the music was too noisy, and the dancers disliked the fast-paced score. So, yeah.
Too many notes.
How many people can say that they weren't famous till after death? I think that's like a theme, right? A theme among artists, unfortunately. All right, I have another poem. It's called The November Night by Sarah Teasdale, and it's read by a YouTuber called Gisella Rowe, and she... If you have not visited her channel yet, you definitely should. I'm a subscriber. She does so much poetry. Her voice is lovely. She has a wonderful pace. And she just has a wealth of poetry and different types of readings, literature readings that you could listen to. So here is November Night by Sarah Teasdale.
A November Night by Sarah Teasdale. There, see the line of light, a chain of stars down either side the street. Why can't you lift the chain and give it to me, a necklace for my throat? I'd twist it round and you could play with it. You smile at me as though I were a little dreamy child behind whose eyes the fairies live. And see the people on the street look up at us, all envious. We are a king and queen. Our royal carriage is a motor bus. We watch our subjects with a haughty joy. How still you are. Have you been hard at work? And are you tired tonight? 'Tis so long since I have seen you. 4 whole days, I think. My heart is crowded, full of foolish thoughts, like early flowers in an April meadow. And I must give them to you, all of them, before they fade. The people I have met, the play I saw, the trivial shifting things that loom too big or shrink too little, shadows that hurry, gesturing along a wall, haunting or gay, and yet they all grow real and take their proper size here in my heart when you have seen them. There's the plaza now, a lake of light. Tonight it almost seems that all the lights are gathered in your eyes, drawn somehow towards you. see the open park lying below us with a million lamps scattered in a wise disorder, like the stars. We look down on them as God must look down on constellations floating under him tangled in clouds. Come then, and let us walk since we have reached the park. It is our garden, all black and blossomless this winter night. But we bring April with us, you and I. We set the whole world on the trail of spring. I think that every path we ever took has marked our footprints in mysterious fire, delicate gold that our only fairies see. When they wake up at dawn in hollow tree trunks and come out on the drowsy park, they look along the empty paths and say, "Oh, here they went, and here, and here, and here. Come see, here is their bench. Take hands and let us dance about it in a windy ring and make a circle round it. Only they can cross when they come back again. Look at the lake. Do you remember how we watched the swans that night in late October while they slept? Swans must have stately dreams, I think. But now the lake bears only thin reflected lights that shake a little. How I long to take one from the cold black water, new-made gold to give you in your hand. And see, there is a star deep in the lake, a star. Oh, dimmer than a pearl, if you stoop down, your hand could almost reach it up to me. There was a new frail yellow moon tonight. I wish you could have had it for a cup with stars like dew to fill it to the brim. How cold it is. Even the lights are cold. They have put shawls of fog around them, see? What if the air should grow so dimly white that we would lose our way along the paths made new by walls of moving mist, receding the more we follow? What a silver night. That was our bench the time you said to me the long new poem, but how different now. How eerie with the curtain of the fog making it strange to all the friendly trees. There is no wind, and yet great curving scrolls carve themselves, ever changing in the mist. Walk on a little. Let me stand here watching, to see you, too, grown strange to me and far. I used to wonder how the park would be if one night we could have it all alone. No lovers with close arm encircled waists to whisper and break in upon our dreams. And now we have it. Every wish comes true. We are alone now in a fleecy world. Even the stars have gone. We too alone.
Excellent. I changed my mind. That's my favorite one of the night. I'm probably going to say that every time. But I think I'm not. I think we're okay until we get to Emily Dickinson. It might change because I do have one by Emily Dickinson. But it is so gorgeous. Sarah Teasdale, you know, she was a writer from she was born in 1884 and passed away in 1933. And she was an American lyric poet. Some of her work anticipated modern feminist verse and the autobiographical style, or better known as confessional poetry. You know, I think of confessional poetry, you know, the first thing comes to my mind is, you know, Sylvia Plath, Anne Sexton. But you also have to look at the earlier works of, you know, those who paved the way even before that. And, you know, a little bit more about her, a lot of her poems deal with love and death, and many of the speakers in her lyrics are women who face the death or desertion of a loved one, and they face the fact of their own mortality and disillusionment, but not as cynics. And she associated moral and spiritual beauty with the harmonies of of a natural world, which you can see right here. She's absolutely gorgeous with writing nature and not just leaving it at nature, but going into a deeper scale of it and kind of saying, okay, well, how does this affect me on a deeper spiritual level? She was born in Missouri. And she's got a lot of works out there, definitely. If you haven't, I would definitely peruse some of her poetry. This is just so, it's just gorgeous. I don't even know how much more I can say about the poem itself other than absolutely gorgeous. I could start naming my favorite lines. Of course, I picked it out for the swan section, particularly when she talks about, again, late October. There was a connection because we just listened to Yeats talk about October, autumn as well. I mean, a lot of people focus on autumn, and it is a beautiful time of year. But it's just absolutely gorgeous. And the reading was amazing. I do love her channel. Rack and Tour, what do you think?
Yeah, I can listen to her for the rest of the day.
I know. It's just, well, her clips, voice is just clips. Gorgeous. Yeah.
I mean, the subject matter and everything, it's a shame. You know, sometimes you hear these people, you feel like you know them, and you want to go out and, you know, get to know them better, you know, in a way, you know, outside of what they've written. You know, that's to me, that's what tends to happen sometimes. You know, I'll read somebody or whatever, and I'll be like, oh, you know, I think I want to get a beer with that person. I want to get to know that person. You know, I want to hang out and you know, their ideas, their visions, the way that they see things. Because you know, everything is, to me, well, that person's, you know, perspective, point of view, the way that they see things, and you know, a lot of you know, our philosophies and things get reflected in that, and you know, you tend to relate to stuff like that, and it resonates with you, and it makes you feel, you know, a certain kind of way. So yeah, it's a shame that I was born well after her time. We could have been friends.
Oh my gosh. I just really, really love that one. I think it's going to have to, I don't know, I just really love it. I haven't read a collection of hers, and I mean, I've read some stuff here and there, but I haven't sat down and read a physical collection. I'm going to have to see about that. I've been taking out of my town library, I've been taking a lot of local authors, and I've been a lot of local New Hampshire and around where I live authors, and I've been taking them out one by one and perusing them, and I found some gorgeous local authors, but I'm going to have to see if they have a collection of her works. And if they don't, they have this gorgeous old bookstore. It doesn't even look like a bookstore in my next town, and it's right next to a college, so I think, like, some college books, like, they just give, like, I don't know where they get all these books, but they're gorgeous books, and every time I go into a bookstore, it feels like their poetry section is getting smaller and smaller, and then a lot of it is anthologies, which I don't mind anthologies. We're all part of anthologies here, of course. But you can't really, you can't really find a lot of things. But fortunately, there's like, I mean, it has to be at least 16 to 20 foot section in this old bookstore that I don't even know how it hasn't collapsed yet. It's like in someone's barn that they transformed into like this. I can only describe it as a maze. Like, you could literally get lost in there, and the bookshelves are so narrow and so high. They're so high. You have to get, like, one of those huge, huge ladders to even scale the books. It is insane. But they have a really nice poetry. They have a lot of old poetry books in there, so I'm going to have to go check it out. I did remember what I was going to say earlier, and it was about the film. So, because we had just got done watching, listening to the clip, and I was like, there was something I was going to say. And what it was going to be was that there was another, I don't know if it was an American version, I think it was an American version, Swan Lake version, maybe the 90s, I think it was the late 90s, and maybe the early 2000s. Maybe I don't think it was that old. I think it was in the 90s, but I did not enjoy it as much. It was like the Audette and Prince, the Prince met when they were young and they didn't like each other, and then they grew up like basically torturing each other, and then one day they meet when they're older, and then he's like, oh my gosh, you're beautiful now, I like you. And then she gets turned into a swan. If I remember it correctly, I'm pulling my memory because it's been a while since I've seen it. This version I've watched recently, and I do watch every once in a while just because I love it. But the other one I think I seen once years ago, but it just wasn't the same. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy the storyline as much. And, I just like this anime version better, this Japanese anime version. All right, I'm going to check my studio. I haven't done that in a while. Hopefully nobody's not holding on. Hopefully. Let's see. Okay, I am going to play my next clip, and then I'm going to have us plug any shows, and then I have a halftime song, but it's really a poem. Some brilliant person put a bunch of poems, just like the Tolkien Ensemble did for Tolkien's poems. This other guy made a whole CD of a certain person's poems, and I'll get to that later. But so I just thought I would bring it. So instead of somebody reading the poem, somebody sang it. But here's the next installment. And if you remember, he followed the swan Odette, and she turned into a human, and he was like, I love you, you know. Come marry me, promise me you're going to make it, which I thought was a little bold. She's like literally saying she's a captive. How could she promise she's going to go anywhere? I don't know. It's a little bold of him to say, promise me you're going to do this. But so we're picking up from there. And I made these clips myself, so I hope you're able to follow the storyline well. But here we go.
So Father is still fast asleep. Father, wake up now. It's already dark. You look so terribly tired. Is something wrong with you?
Oh, it's because I changed a man into stone when he tried to kill Odette, and it makes me tired when I practice witchcraft in broad daylight. Well, I'll get up now.
Father, you certainly are crazy about Odette.
Yes, 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 yes! The night is my realm, my world to live in, and I will propose marriage to Odette again tonight. Tonight she might accept me. My precious little Odette. Just one more time.
Father, I don't think you should keep your hopes up.
Why not?
Because your precious little Odette was seeing a young man today.
What? Why didn't you tell me all of this first?
What are you saying? It's because you were so involved with your sweet daydreams.
Never mind all that. Just tell me, what kind of man is he?
Are you worried?
Of course I am.
I hate to admit it, but he certainly is gallant, that handsome young Prince Siegfried.
Prince Siegfried?
Yes, the Crown Prince.
Is that really true?
Of course. And he invited her to come to his castle tomorrow night, and then he will choose her as his bride.
Why, that Prince Siegfried! This is unforgivable!
Oh, be careful, Father!
Where is he? Where is he? Siegfried, where are you? Where are you hiding? I'll find you no matter where you are.
You won't find him around here.
Not here?
He went home long ago.
What about Odette?
Well, now, I am pretty sure she's sitting around dreaming of her love for Siegfried. Now that such a good-looking, gallant, and young prince has shown up, you'll find it more difficult.
Be quiet!
Oh, you scare me.
Now that things have come to this, I must handle Odette without mercy.
Oh!
bats and fire-breathing dragons to keep Siegfried away from my little Odette. Today? Young Prince Siegfried from the castle?
How did you know?
You really don't think something like that could happen without my knowledge, do you? Well, well, let's forget him now. Odette, isn't it just about the time for you to decide to accept my humble offer of marriage? I've been very patient waiting all these years. And tonight, give me the answer that would overwhelm my heart with great Oh, my precious Odette, just promise to marry me and I will give you anything in the world that you desire. I give my solemn oath that you will have a far more luxurious life than any queen. Hmm? Why don't you answer me? Could it be that you detest talking to me? If you refuse to accept my generous offer of marriage, you must continue to live each day as a swan. Don't you mind that?
I do not wish to live a luxurious life. There is nothing that I really want, except that I...
Except? What is it you wish?
I wish to live with someone I love.
Someone you love? Don't say it. It can't be true. Don't tell me. Don't tell me that this someone you love and wish to live with is Siegfried. Odette, I am the someone who loves you and wants to live with you. And still, tell me, why is it that you can't fall in love with me?
Use your witchcraft to do it. There is nothing you can't do. You're the greatest wizard in the world.
Enough. Enough. Even with my splendid skill, it is impossible to move a human heart. If it was possible to make you love me, I wouldn't have waited for these last 3 years. Oh, Odette, won't you please take pity on me? How long do you intend to keep me waiting like this? Or do you still think that you are in love with Siegfried?
Yeah.
It's stupid falling in love with such a young boy whom you've just met.
No, you are wrong. I have been in love with Siegfried all of these years.
For all of these years, you say?
Yes. I often saw Prince Siegfried riding his horse down by the lake.
So that's the real reason why you don't like me even one little bit. Don't make me angry any more than I am right now, Odette. If I really wanted to, I could turn you into an ugly toad, or even a worm, or a tiny bug, or even into a caterpillar. But I didn't do that to you. I kept you in the beautiful figure of a swan. Do you understand why? Because I am so deeply in love with you, and it's proof of my real love.
It's not. If you were really and truly in love with me, you would have done nothing to make me sad.
Hmm? Oh.
Now, Rothbart, if you truly love me as you say, then right now, go away and leave me alone. Please, leave this room at once.
How dare you? How dare you say a thing like that, Odette? So you wish to attend the prince's ball? Ha! You think I'd let you go? You think so? You think so? Well, you had better think twice about it.
Oh, forgive me, please.
Well, Odette, like a pretty bird in a cage. Tomorrow night at the ball, Prince Siegfried will be forced to choose someone else to give his love to and be his bride.
Oh, Prince Siegfried. Siegfried.
All right, and just so the listeners at home know, there's lots of noise going on. He didn't hit her in the film. He was just banging stuff around. There's actually this turret, and then the turret has like this hanging room, I guess it would be. Like, it looks like the top of a turret, but with no bottom, and it's just kind of like dangling there like a birdcage, and he has the drawbridge come out, and he's just lifting it up and trapping her in there, so... yeah, it's fine. All right. So I hope you're enjoying the sections of the film that I picked out. I am going to go through and plug for the remainder of the shows this week. Now, do you want to plug your show?
I think my show is going to be at the end of the month, but I kind of have my mind on this theme, but I don't. I don't know. We'll have to see. When I get around to sitting down and chewing out a topic board and whatnot. I'm loosely thinking of, your last words, if you knew you were going to be going away, final epitaph, last words, kind of a thing. If you knew, what would it be? What would you talk about, kind of your parting shot, as it were? I have vivid memories of a very tongue-in-cheek Boot Hill with all the funny epithets on the tombstones. My favorite one was, "I told you I was sick." So if you knew you were going to go, is there something you would want to say? Is there a message you would want to give?
Okay. All right. So instead of giving thanks for Thanksgiving, we're giving epitaphs. That's pretty cool. I like the idea. Parting is for such sweet sorrow. What are we going to say on our deathbed?
Thanks, Bill.
I like that funny one. Yeah, I like that funny one. I told you I was sick. And that is, let's see, the last Tuesday. So that is November 28th. And 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, subject to change. I'm not sure.
Yeah, 10 o'clock, yeah.
So the next show that's coming up on A Team of Voices, I'm still not sure if Sweet is on tomorrow. There's no topic. But usually Sweet Discussions is on at 10 p.m. on Thursdays. Stay tuned. I'm not sure. But I don't want to skip over her just in case she's getting up there. Yeah. But then the next show is Friday night at 10 p.m., the 17th, and it's Liquid Damage with Open Poetry, and Linda would like you to bring her some poetry. It can be whatever you want, so just call in and read something. And then Saturday is Saturday Nights with Hatter, A.P. Taylor, and Deborah Lee, and they go live at 9 p.m., and their topic this week is fathers and dads. wherever that leads you. And then there is a Sunday show this week, and it is on the 19th, and it's Sunday Night Murder and Mayhem, Case File, Jack the Ripper. Join us every first and third Sunday for true crime poetry and topics. We will discuss scenarios related to true crime from around the world. And they go live at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. So they have like a bunch of topics up there you can check out. And yeah, and that's with JCA. And I believe he does it this week, right?
I don't know if she's committed to every time. I know they did it a couple of times,
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay.
I haven't.
All right. So I'm looking forward to that. And then Monday night, of course, is Deborah Lee's Personal Prompt Monday. And her topic is the beautiful fall colors. She goes live at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And she has lots of gorgeous photos. I always grab a couple. I'm actually going to grab one right now. I really like this one. But she has a word bank up there, and you can – oh, this one's gorgeous, too. They're all gorgeous. You're really going to have to just go over here and look at what I'm looking at because they're really, really nice. I tend to save a lot from her from the ones that aren't taken. I'm like, oh, I'll just take a couple. But she does have a word bank. It is optional, of course. They are from her crayon box. And they're all autumn-themed. Oh, they're really, really gorgeous. And you could just write anything you want and then bring it to her Monday night. And, it's at 10 p.m. I'm going to have to go back to that. I have to stop looking at the pictures. All right, and then on Tuesday, because we're just going to go around the horn, as they say, to Wednesday, next Tuesday is my makeup show for last week that I canceled because I was sick. So we are celebrating Storyboards, Star Wars, Volume 27. Yes, I said it, Volume 27. I feel like I've been doing these Star Wars. I'm loving it, though, but... it's The Mandalorian Season 3. You could write to any of the theme scenes, characters, and or quotes. I'm going to say it again. If you pick a quote, you can write anything you want, even if off-topic, from The Mandalorian itself. You bring the poetry, and I bring the fandom. That's my rule. And I go live at 8. But that subject has changed lately because I've been wanting to go to bed early. Which is why we started at 7 today. And then next Wednesday is another one of my ones that, just like Swan Lake, one that I have held off on. It's one of my favorite films of all time. And it's just so nostalgic for me. And I've been waiting to pull this one out. And I put it in the same month as Swan Lake because they're my favorites. And it is The Land Before Time. I just love it. It's another animated film. And you can take any of the quotes and you can go where you want. And you can go with the themes. I mean, there's a lot of themes in this. He loses his mom. You know, I know it's a sadder topic, but we've all felt lost. And I think that is a theme that I think we could all connect on. And if you have any poetry you want to share, there's that theme. They also go on a journey. There's a lot of change happening. They make a group of friends. It's about unity. And, you know, at the beginning of the film, it's all about, you know, long necks don't play with three horns. And so there's some division. And then, lo and behold, throughout the journey, the different types of dinosaurs have to band together and make it together, and they're young. So I think that kind of unity, also a broad topic, a broad theme that I think many people can connect on. So bring your poetry. And I have the original artwork that the film was like the boards, the storyboards, they call them actually, which is why one of the reasons why I picked the name of the show the way that it is. The original artwork that was done before the film was made to do the film. It is gorgeous artwork. You're welcome to look at it and to pick one of them. And that's on at 8. Again, subject to change. There is a contest still open if you want to put your poem in a contest as well. I have one running. It's live right now. So, yeah. You know what it is? I do the contest. I know. You're thinking, why do you have so many contests? But I really do these contests because I love when I do the build. Like, I do all the character spotlight, and I do a lot of work for it because I put the pictures up. I put the links of the characters up. I put the quotes up. And if I delete the topic, I never see it again. And I did all this work. So when I do a contest, it immortalizes that in a contest link so that if I ever want to go back to it and write a poem myself, I have the link. Or if anybody wants to look at it and say, oh, hey, what kind of shows have they done before, they can just click the link and they can view. And then if someone reads a poem during the show, I also have, if they put it in the contest, I also have access. I can say, oh, okay, I can't remember that poem, but I remember it was read this night and for this contest, and I can go and grab the link. So there are so many reasons why. It's not because I love judging, because I hate it. And then I gotta pick one. I gotta pick one, and they're all great, and it's awful. All right, so Land Before Time. And then also, just as a little reminder, I know the D&D shows do tend to get the writers that tend to they're like, they, I don't know if it's because Sweet, you know, and obviously Stephen loves them, and there's a lot of people that have, you know, Deborah Lee have come to really love the D&D character writing. So there is a D&D show this month, and it's The Fighter, and it's the last week of the month, as always. And I already have some of my Christmas topics up. I know Thanksgiving isn't over, and I'm always yelling at people to stop talking. I'm always yelling at people to stop talking about Christmas before Thanksgiving was over. But I'm going to do it just because I want to let everybody know that one of the topic boards, you need to claim your prompt. So the first come, first serve, go pick a picture. It is Merry Hyrule Christmas. It's all the Legend of Zelda artwork. So go pick them. Yeah, I had to do it. I had to do it. So I'm so excited for Christmas because I'm doing some really fun stuff. So I even have some Batman coming in, but that topic board's not up yet. I'm still working on a few things. But, yeah, so that's what's coming up. Here at A Team of Voices, and stay tuned. And as I said, I promised you a song, right? I promised you a song.
Go for it.
All right, so this is Love the Wild Swan by Robinson Jeffers, is the poet. But the music is by Colin Farish. And like I said, he does like a whole album, and it's available on YouTube, and it's all the poetry of Robinson Jeffers, just like the Tolkien Ensemble did, but this guy did it with Robinson Jeffers. It's really cool. It's this poem, before I'm going to play it. I'm going to say a few words. Instead of doing a comment after, I'm going to say a few words before, because I feel like every single person who has written the poem understands the fact that sometimes we don't like we're very critical of ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We are self-deprecating creatures, and we just want to say, I never realized how much I fell into that category until I started pulling pieces out to publish. Then I was like, ah, no, that's crap. That's crap. I don't want, no, that's not good enough to go in there. And then I look at the poem online, and it has some really good positive feedback and comments.
But I still am like, no. I just don't know. I don't know why we do it to ourselves. But this poem is called Love the Swan, and it is opens up with about having that plight and then learning to love the wild swan, to love yourself and your work. So I think it's fun. But here we go. Enjoy. Oh, wait, I'm not going to play that song yet because I think we have AP Taylor.
You do. You do. You,
I do.
You've seen it, Scott.
Okay, I'm not going to play the song because I know that you're usually in a time crunch. Hi, how are you? I haven't played your recording yet, but I appreciate it.
Oh, well, that's good. I wasn't sure I'd get here because I had 3 hours straight of meetings before right now, so I've just pulled up after 3 hours of video conference. You just sort of, I don't know. It's nice to be out of the meeting, Sky, I've got to say, and just talking, doing fun stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so I'm going to give you some options here. You can, I can still play the recording, or you can read loud.
Please
live,
play the recording.
Or I can play the recording later, and you can just bring any poem you want now to read.
I was going to give you that option. I was going to say use the recording later, because it's all there, And I actually do have a poem about wild swans. Would you believe?
Oh, perfect. Okay, so I'm going to hold off on the song now that I got everybody ready for the song.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold off on that.
Live this time. So this is a poem from about a year ago. I really like this poem. This is Those Swans Again, Sky. Those Swans Again. And it goes a little bit like this. Clamours they echo forth from well down the way as a brace of swans dance past me as one. Flying with ardour, their pinions in full sway, fixed eyes held fast into the horizon spun. With wings fierce beating to clouds tying, rays trail distance while by eve spying. Ahead, their destination is lying, outwards where the rivers curl, beyond the sun. Ahead, this phalanx pushes the darkest grey, flies driving to where western slopes peer. Ignoring the streaming sun's rapid decay, they approach darkness with stars near. Left well behind city's remnants lighting with screams as intentions fighting, toils releasing into lands delighting, near the wide grey waters, miles from here. Below armies tend to the grain still young, eyes on green shoots, husks not yet shed. Slouching under hats, their troubles slung between drying winds, a sunset left bled. For long gone, those pink tendrils tiring, silent the chill of eve, skies conspiring, not long till heat, and the fires desiring, to bake in orange coals by a warming thread. Until with harvesting done, swans return east, toward cities and coastlines beat a retreat. Soon we'll be cooking those mighty feasts, while choirs and white glory psalms repeat. Gathered the year's harvest now drying to a population sustenance supplying, again the phalanx are within lying, this land to a bounty, as sure as winds beat. End poem.
Absolutely gorgeous. I'm so glad that you were able to stop by and read that. This is gorgeous. For me, I think the parts that was, you know, struck me, well, first, the beginning, of course. The as the grace of the swan stance past me as one flying with ardor. I love this. The pinions of full sway. How you bring this visual in. And at first I was taken with, okay, it's a dance of the swans. But then you get into this whole idea of what I can only read as a metaphor. And then when you speak of, when you got to the part of, this is the part that was the most striking to me that I thought, I was like, oh, Okay. Below armies tend to their grains, still young. Eyes on green shoots, husks not yet shed. And, you know, that brings me to the darker thoughts of soldiers and youth, and where you say husks not shed, slouching under hats, their troubles slung. You know, I think there's so much in those three lines, and you compact a lot of emotion in those three lines. And whichever way you take it, I felt the way that you wrote it, it was almost like the person who is reading it or listening to it can assume those troubles. They all of a sudden I felt that weight as if I was slouching under a hat as well. And you do that through your words. And I think because the way that you didn't just come out with those three lines, you set it up a certain way. I think that when you get there, I think that's what makes it most impactful. So I say those three lines are the most striking to me, but without that buildup, you know, I don't think it would be the same. So it was just done tactfully and gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous piece. I think the penultimate stanza is my favorite. I think it's maybe the pink tendrils and, you know, the orange coals by a warming thread. Just that whole stanza is gorgeous. The whole thing is gorgeous. And that stanza is definitely stands out to me. Really well done. Thank you, AP.
Pleasure.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Did you want to? I was going to get a comment from Rat, but did you want to say
something? I was just going to say Banjo Patterson did a brilliant poem called Wild Swans, and so I was actually copying his rhyme and format because it's such a beautiful and inspiring piece, and that was what I was following.
I mean, you did it gorgeously, and like I said, I thought you you hit the topic very, very well. Rack, what do you think?
You know, there's something about the way AP writes. I want to say not like a template, but when you have an idea of what you're going to put to the page, you know, the way things interface with each other, the background, like you said, the way you introduce something, the whole formation of it. There's a style to it that you use that it's very pleasing and logical and classical even. You know, you don't just, you know, offer something up, you know, you lead to it, you include metaphor, everything that you do to create something like a piece like this just makes it shine. You know, you've got the beautiful swan as the centerpiece, and you know, whether you say you're copying the other guy's form, but you know, you've got your own beauty in what you wrote, and you're mindful of the fact that, you know, well, everyone looks at a swan and thinks of it as beautiful, so that means you kind of have to have a beautiful background and beautiful scenery and beautiful everything, so you incorporate that into the piece as well, and then everything that you expect, it's very satisfying, it's very memorable, the way that you present something like that. And then you include little nuggets, like sometimes you could read them backwards, or sometimes, you know, you just do such an amazing job I'm trying to think of how you put it. When someone's trying to learn, you know, the elements that you use, all the little bits and pieces and poetic elements that you use, you bring all of that into your pieces and to give us, you know, such an outstanding piece. It's lovely to listen to, AP. Thank you.
Pleasure, Breck. Thank you.
Awesome. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I plugged the show for Saturday, but did you want to plug it in your own words?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got I think, a really interesting topic coming up, Sky. We've got fathers or dads is the theme for the show on Saturday night. It was prompted because I found this 15-year-old clip on YouTube. Yeah, back ago, I'm searching YouTube. And it was a band, a British band called Westlife. And they were on this show, and this British show got their fathers to come out and sing, all four of them. And they sang That's Life, and I just love it. So that's why we've gone to Dads and Fathers.
Awesome. Are you going to feature that music composition on the show, or?
Yes, yeah, we're going to have it for the start. They do a wonderful job. And they're all about your late 50s, early 60s, these guys, four of them. And the really sad thing is that by the time 2 years had gone by, there was only one of the four still alive after that happened. That, you know, got killed in hospital and heart attacks and Christ knows what else. So it was just amazing timing that happened at that time.
Well, that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but it's good that you're celebrating that they're alive and memorializing their music.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. That's what's happening.
Well, thank you, AP.
And,
I know you're a busy guy. I hope you don't have to go back to...
No, I've got another couple to go, but I've just when you do. Yeah. But you've got the recording of me later on with the piece from Keats, which is a lovely poem. Huh?
I know, I'm pretty excited about it, so I'm thrilled that I'm like, I don't think, I was at lunch, actually, and I'm like, so this is what happened. I am reading a book. I'm reading a collection of his poems, and I was reading it during lunch instead of eating. And I was like, how serendipitous, because I came across that poem. And I'm sitting there reading it, and I'm like, this is really long. I don't want to read this. So that's why it came so late, because I didn't come across it until today, and it was just so serendipitous, because I seen it, and then I was like, and I was reading it, and I'm like, I wonder if AP can squeeze me in. So I was so excited that you were able to, and that's why I had asked you, like, what kind of last minute, but I do appreciate it. Kind of how it came about.
It was lovely to read it, but it is warning, you know, time warning. It's about 7 minutes and 50 seconds. It's a long poem.
Oh, don't worry. We're okay. It's okay.
It's a long poem. It's good poem. I like it. I really enjoy it.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, I know you've got to go, but I just have one question. Did you do it all in one go, or did you take a couple of records? Like, when I read, like, a two-minute poem, or a 130-second poem, and I do it, like, 20 times because I'm not satisfied, and that's my own poetry. Did you do it in one take?
No.
Are you?
I read it through once, and then I put it straight onto the tape in one go.
Yeah. Good on you, man. I just can't. I can't even do my own
in
poem.
In one go.
That quick.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
No, well, I've got plenty of practice from doing The Man from Snowy River, because that's 7 minutes 33 seconds, yeah. So if I can do that, then I can easily do Keats, you know. So I've got practice at long poems. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and I hope you get some rest as well.
I'm hoping so. It's not going to be until late this afternoon, though. But anyway, we'll keep trucking along, and we'll see how we go.
Okay. Thank you so much, AP.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Raph. Talk soon.
Bye.
Take care.
Seven minutes.
Yeah, well, if I had known this one, like the story, I had a three-part poem myself that is similar to the story of Swan Lake.
Oh, well, just tell me what it is. I'll look it up. I can get it up there. That's fine.
No, it's in three parts. It's going to be longer than Keats, if you wanted all three anyway. It was the Two Left Feet fairy tale for Princess Sweet. And then I don't remember the order, but I think Eclipsed was the last one, and then there was another piece that came in the middle, but it was a three-part piece. And it's a similar story about, you know, a wizard and it's a king and a ball and getting transformed and then, you know, love.
I think that we could connect that to another show. We'll work on getting that one out because I kind of want to hear that now. I think perhaps I don't know if I have, but we're going to work on that. I'm sure we can, we'll figure out where to fit it in. All right, so our promised song, right? We got a song. All right, here we go. Without further ado.
It's not a meatball song.
Yeah, not a meatball song, no.
I hate my verses, every line, every word. Oh, pale and brittle pencils, ever to try one brass blade's curve, or the throat of one bird that clings to twig, ruffled against white sky. Oh, cracked in twilight mirrors, ever to catch one color, one glinting flash of the splendor of things, unlucky hunter. Oh, bullets of wax, the lion beauty, the wild swan wings, the storm of the wings. This wild swan of a world is no hunter's game. Better bullets than yours would miss the wide breast. Better mirrors than yours would crack in the flame. Does it matter whether you hate? Does it matter whether you hate yourself? At least love.
Awesome. What do you think, Rack?
That was awesome, yeah. I like the guitar.
Yeah, part of me does wonder if, like, the poet heard it. Like, would they be like, what are you doing to my work? Or if they would be like, I like this. I think Tolkien would love the Tolkien Ensemble. There's just no way he couldn't, because they just totally did the because it's bardic music, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's hard to say he wouldn't like it because it is bardic music. Where this is like guitar and riffs, you know, would he be like, well, I'm more of like a jazz fan, you know, like just because of genre, like, you know. So that part of me does wonder that, but I thought it was great. I really like it. It didn't remind me, not remind me, but it made me think of when I heard for the first time the bells, the sledges of the bells, and someone had redone Poe's poem, and I was like, oh, this is a dark poem, but he made it cheery, in song. it was interesting. So it was like, here you hear the sledges of the bells, and it's all like, so, and then it's all like chipper, and it's like, this song's not chipper. I mean, this poem's not chipper. So it was interesting, but I really liked it, but I don't know if Poe would have liked it. I don't know, but I do. All right, so I'm going to play the next clip to the from the film. It is, I have two more clips. This is about the same time as the other ones, and then I have one shorter one after, but I'm going to play that, and then we're going to play, unless we don't get any more, as long as we don't get any more callers, we're going to go into A.P. Taylor's reading of Keats. So enjoy. Do you remember where we were in the film? Oh, yeah. She was trapped in the tower, right? Okay, she's trapped in the tower. That's where we are. I'm like, where were we? All right, so she's trapped in the tower. And by the way, those cute little voices, just for the listeners at home, they're little squirrels. Chipmunks. They're little chipmunks. So when you hear those little voices, the guy chipmunks is in love with the girl chipmunk, and they're the ones that are open. Those little voices. And they help her escape, actually. So there's some context for you. Here we go. That is the Mandalorian. I'm skipping ahead. Here we go.
I have a pretty good idea what put you in this terrible mood.
What is so funny about it?
So she turned you down again, Father.
Quiet!
Forget it. Odette will never be your wife. It's hopeless no matter how long you wait.
Enough is enough.
I bet you hate her now, don't you?
I hate her. She's breaking my heart, so I hate her very much.
Then why don't you kill her? All you have to do is kill her. You can't wait forever, but Odette will never become your bride. So kill her and get rid of her. Don't you think it's a good idea?
No, that's something I can't do. I could never kill my beautiful and precious little Odette.
Oh, you're so soft-hearted. Then if you can't do it, I don't mind doing it for you.
No, don't do it, Odile. Don't do it. I'm too much in love with Odette. I love her so much. I thought of a good idea. All I have to do is kill the prince.
Kill the prince?
Once the prince is gone for good, Odette will fall in love with me.
That won't work either, Father. Even if the prince is dead, the memory of him will remain in her heart forever. And the prince will keep living on in Odette's mind.
I'm afraid you are right about that. But then, how do I solve this? What'll I do?
There is one solution.
What? There is a solution?
Yes.
What is it? You must tell me. Hurry up, Odile.
Just make the prince fall in love with someone else.
But supposing Siegfried doesn't even blink an eye at anybody else except Odette, what do we do? Odile! Oh, Odette! Odette!
What are you doing, Father? I'm your daughter, Odile.
Well, you look so much like Odette for a moment, I made a mistake.
So, what do you say now? I'm sure Siegfried will fall in love with me.
Well, you really are my daughter, all right, to think up such a splendid idea like that. And now if you dress up and go to the ball, I'm positive that Siegfried will fall in love with you at once.
And, Father, I wouldn't mind marrying Prince Siegfried myself. Is it all right, Father?
Of course it is. I'm all for it, and I'll be free from worrying about the prince.
And then Odette will become your bride, Father.
I'm I'm excited already.
Father, we're going to be busy tonight. Stop being so silly and get some sleep while you can.
Ah, that's right. Yes, I must get some sleep. And to all a good night. The sun will set very soon, and that's when a grand ball starts. I think I will go to the ball myself and see with my own eyes which girl Prince Siegfried will select for his bride. I'll enjoy that very much.
I knew that you would come, Odette.
I'm Odile.
What did you say? Odile?
Yes, I am Odile. I'm not Odette.
But last night...
Oh, I am sure that I said my name was Odile. I'm sure that you misheard me.
Perhaps I did, but names do not matter, Odile. Thank you for coming.
Who is that? The young lady dressed in black.
I do not know, but she is beautiful.
Siegfried seems to like her very much, and I am so relieved. Now, Minister, start the music.
Yes, start the music.
Well, now, how dare you steal out of your room and run away? All right. I will show you something interesting. Take a good look.
Mother, and everyone present, I have an announcement to make. Today at my coming-of-age party, I would like you to meet Princess Odile, who will soon be my bride.
Siegfried is sincerely in love with the princess he has chosen. I have nothing against it.
Of course I am sincerely in love with her. And I take a vow to love Princess Odile for the rest of my life.
Siegfried, at last you have taken a vow to love my daughter Odile all your life.
Love your daughter? Oh, no, you must be Rothbart.
That is correct. And now Princess Odette belongs to me.
Odette? Then who are you?
I told you that my name was Odile. It's too late to be shocked. You have already given your solemn oath that you will marry me. And you also vowed to love me all of your life.
Odette! Forgive me, Odette!
No matter how much you cry about it, now Odette belongs to me. Oh, you finally woke up, Odette. Oh.
Farewell, Prince Siegfried.
Odette! Wait for me, Odette!
Well, here we go. Now, Odette, let's go.
Odette,
Now you belong to me.
Well, that's my daughter, Odile.
Odette!
Mother, are you aware of the danger? It's the wizard you are going to fight against.
Please forgive me, Mother. Regardless of the danger or the risk, I must go and rescue Odette.
From today, you are the king of this castle, and you cannot act as you please.
Mother, forgive me.
And he throws away his crown. That's why you should always get your names right. Oh, I really loved it. They were turned into swans and flying away. Absolutely love it. I'm going to go right into A.P. Taylor's reading to Charles Coden, Charlie, by John Keats. Thank you again so much for reading this for me. I did not realize it was 7:44. I didn't even look at it when I logged into the studio. I appreciate it so much. All right, so here we go.
Hi, Sky. I got a message from you with a link to a poem by John Keats the poem called To Charles Cowden Clark, and that goes a little bit like this. Oft have you seen a swan superbly frowning, and with proud beast his own white shadow crowning. He slants his neck beneath the waters bright, so silently it seems a beam of light. Come from the galaxy anon he sports, with outspread wings, naiad zephyr courts, or ruffles all the surfaces of the lake, and striving from its crystal face to take some diamond water drops and then to treasure in a milky nest and sip them off at leisure. But not a moment can he there ensure them, nor to such downy rest can he allure them, for down they rush as though they would be free and drop like ours into eternity. Just like that bird am I in loss of time whene'er I venture on the stream of rhyme, with shattered boat or snapped and canvas rent, I slowly sail, scarce knowing my intent, still scooping up the water with my fingers, in which a trembling diamond never lingers. By this, friend Charles, you may full plainly see why I have ne'er penned a line to thee, because my thoughts were never free and clear and little fit to please a classic ear. Because my wine was of too poor a savour for one whose palate gladdens in the flavour. A sparkling helicon, small good it were, to take to a distant rude and bare, who had on Bayer's shore reclined at ease, while Tasso's page was floating in a breeze, that gave soft music from Armida's bowers, mingled with fragrance from her rarest flowers. Small good to one, who had by Muller's stream fondled the maidens with the breasts of cream, who had beheld Bithobi in a brook, and lovely Una in a leafy nook, and Archimago leaning o'er his book, who had all that sweet tasted and seen from silvery ripple up to beauty's queen, from the sequestered haunts of gay Titania to the blue dwelling of divine Urania, one who of late had ta'en sweet forest walks with him who elegantly chats and talks, the wronged Libertas, who has told you stories of laurel chaplets and Apollo's glories, of troops chivalrous prancing through a city and tearful ladies made for love and pity, with many else which I have never known. Thus have I thought, and days on days have flown, slowly or rapidly unwind, willing still, for you to try my dull, uplearned quill. Nor should I now, but that I've known you long, that you first taught me all the sweets of song, the grand, the sweet, the terse, the free, the fine, what swelled with pathos and what right divine, Spencerian vows that elope with ease and float along like birds o'er summer seas, Miltonian storms and more Miltonian tenderness, Michael in arms and more meek Eve's fair slenderness, who read for me the sonnet swelling loudly up to its climax and then dying proudly, who found for me the grandeur of the ode, growing like Atlas, stronger from its load, who let me taste that more than cordial dram, the sharp, the rapier-pointed epigram, shewed me that epic was of all the king, round vast and spanning, all like Saturn's ring. You too upheld the veil from Clio's beauty and pointed out the patriot's stern duty, the might of Alfred and the shaft of Tell, the hand of Brutus that so grandly fell. Upon a tyrant's head, ah, had I never seen or known your kindness, what might I have been? What my enjoyments in my youthful years bereft all that now my life endears? And can I e'er these benefits forget, and can I e'er repay the friendly debt? No, doubly no. Yet should these rhymings please, I shall roll on the grass with twofold ease. For I have long time been my fancy feeding with hopes that you would one day think the reading of my rough verses not an hour misspent. Should it e'er be so, what a rich content. Some weeks have passed since last I saw the spires in lucent Thames reflected warm desires to see the sun o'er peep the eastern dimness and morning shadows streaking into slimness across the lawny fields and pebbly water to mark the time as they grow broad and shorter, to feel the air that plays about the hills and sips its freshness from the little rills, to see high golden corn wave in the light when Cynthia smiles upon a summer's night and peers upon the cloudlets jet and white as though she were reclining in a bed of bean blossoms in heaven freshly shed. No sooner had I stepped into these pleasures than I began to think of rhymes and measures. The air that floated by me seemed to say, right, thou wilt never have a better day. And so I did. When many lines I'd written through their fair grace, I was not oversmitten. Yet, as my hand was warm, I thought I'd better trust to my feelings and write you a letter. Such an attempt required an inspiration of a particular sort, a consummation, which, had I felt, these scribblings might have been, verses from which the soul would never wean. But many days have passed since last my heart was warmed luxuriously by divine Mozart, by arm delighted or by handle maddened, or by the song of Erin pierced and saddened. What time you were before the music sitting and the rich notes to each sensation fitting, since I have walked with you through shady lanes that freshly terminate in open plains and revelled in a chat that ceased not when at nightfall among your books we got. No, nor when supper came, nor after that, nor when reluctantly I took my hat. No, nor till cordially you shook my hand midway between our homes, your accents bland, still sounded in my ears when I no more could hear your footsteps touch the gravelly floor. Sometimes I lost them and then found again. You changed the footpath for the grassy plain. In those still moments I have wished you joys that well you know to honour life's very toys. With him, said I, will take a pleasant charm. It cannot be that aught will work him harm. These thoughts now come o'er me with all their might. Again I shake your hand. Friend Charles, good night. End poem.
Awesome. They don't make letters like that anymore. I want someone to write me a letter in a poem-like form like that. This is brilliant. I still can't get over You did it in one take. I just don't, I bow down to your skill because I have trouble doing my own poetry, like I said, in like 15 takes, and my poem, even that's a brevity. So, I just kind of highlight two lines. You know, there's, I mean, this is obviously an epic, this is 7 minutes. So I think it speaks of itself. And then, of course, I'm just going to, wherever I venture on the stream of rhyme, lift shattered boats or snapped and canvas rent. Here we go. Just like the bird, am I in loss of time wherever I venture in the stream of rhyme. Love. That was a two that got me when I was reading it today at lunchtime. Absolutely love it. Thank you so much, AP. I really can't say how much I appreciate it. Brack, any words?
Tweet. It's Keats. It's lovely. And you know, AP did a great job reading it.
He sure did. Thank you so much. All right, so we've got 10 minutes. And I've got a clip, and I did have two more poems, but I think I may pull them, although I feel really, I don't know if I could pull Emily Dickinson. It's only a minute. I'm probably going to play the Emily Dickinson one, although Mary Oliver is quite good. They're both about a minute. We'll see. I'm going to play the last clip, and we'll see where we land. So here's the ending of the film. Spoiler alert, it is the ending of the film, so enjoy.
Fight. Interesting. Do you really mean to fight me?
I came to rescue Odette.
Don't you realize who I am? I happen to be the great wizard Rothbart. Yeah! Oh!
Yeah!
Yeah! Go away.
Well, they're still at it.
Listen to me. No matter how hard you try, it's useless. What a troublesome son-in-law you are. Well, what do you say now? If you give me your word to live in your castle with my daughter Odile, I will spare your life.
Never. I will never marry your daughter. Well, how dare you insult me?
Father, never mind. Just kill him off. Kill Siegfried!
All right, I will kill him. And here I go. Odette. Watch this.
Stop it! Please do not kill Prince Siegfried.
You want me to spare his life?
Let him live. Please.
Don't let him live, Father. Kill him.
Odile, don't get excited. You know perfectly well I can kill him any time I want. And now, Odette, if you want to save his life, all you have to do is say you'll marry me. Well, now, Odette, if you want me to spare his life, you must give me your heart.
Don't do it, Odette. Forget about me. Don't do it. You must never give your heart to Rothbart.
Well, Odette, what do you say? Shall I finish him off?
Wait! You can't, Odette!
Now, either you vow that you will love me forever, or are you going to let me kill Siegfried? Well?
Odette, I don't care about my own life.
Well, Odette?
I will love Rothbart with...
No!
Yeah!
I totally was on mute. I was just saying I hate to stop in the middle of the Swan Lake theme because it's just basically the rest of the movie is just music. But don't worry, we are closing with Swan Lake theme, so it'll be fine. And that's the only reason why I could kind of put it in there. And just so that the viewer and the listeners know, what he did was the prince ended up, you know, he had Rathbart had the sword pointed at the prince, and the prince grabbed the sword and impaled himself, basically, and so that she wouldn't have to, she was ready to give up herself, and he's like, no, you're not going to do that, but prove his love, and then the whole castle falls down, and then the curse is broken, and they live happily ever after. It's a beautiful movie, and you should see it. And just in time, hello, Deborah Lee. You got the spoiler.
Hello. No, it's all right. I didn't realize that you guys were only doing an hour, and I rushed the ending, and I'm not really happy with the poem anyway, so because of the fact that I rushed it. So,
we didn't do an hour. We did 2 hours. I started at 7. I put a message on the board. I didn't message you directly, but I put in the message on the board. I'll message you directly next time. Sorry.
No. That's fine. I guess, like I said, I had realized. I'm seeing the message now from 3 hours ago.
But listen though. If you're not happy with it, okay, I would you mind reading 2 for me next week, and you can do whatever you want with it for now.
And then we can fix it.
Or you can read, but I know that I'm not. You could read it as in now and then bring me the finished copy later, or you could just not, because I know that I don't want to, sometimes if I'm not, I mean, you've seen me. I'm not happy with this, Deb.
I just hit delete, and I will play with it and gladly bring it next week instead of reading it as is.
Yeah, and bring 2 next week if you want. You can bring that one in a pre-write. Just go through, or you can write whatever you want. The next week is the Land Before Time, and like I was saying, there are a lot of themes. I think we all could relate to loss. I mean, I don't want everybody to bring sad poems if they don't want to, but that's a big theme in that movie is loss. He loses his mom. I mean, we all felt loss in our lives. So there's so many themes that can be brought for next week. So if you want to bring that one, and you want to bring a pre-write, if you want to bring 2 new writes, you're more than welcome. I did start at 7, so which I won't be doing every week, but I'm still not feeling that great, as you can probably tell.
No,
how are you?
Like I said, I'm hanging in. I'm a little frustrated with the stuff going on in the hive right now, so I'll leave that subject alone. But I was. I never went and looked at the chat wall. The last thing I saw on there was Wayne's message, and then I've been sitting there, and in between everything else going on, I'm trying to write my poem, and I never checked back. So it's my own fault. I should have checked to see if there was any
changes.
No,
I should have messaged you directly. I should have messaged you directly for the change. I will next time. I just put it on the board, and I was like, I'm doing it, and I'm taking some NyQuil, and I'm going to bed, basically.
No, I made a call from AP, and I transferred his MP4 to an MP3 and put it in the studio so you'd have it, and then I, you know, it's just been a really hectic afternoon into evening, and
okay, it's my fault.
It's Rack's fault. There you go.
It's Rack's fault.
We'll go with that. Well, sounds better.
I pulled the plug on it, and it was down, and it was.
AP read his own poem, and then he read this 7, almost 8-minute poem by Keats in one go. I don't even know how he did it. Amazing.
Yeah, well, he had recorded the 8-minute poem just in case he couldn't get out of his meeting in time. So that's what I had transferred. It's at the top of the studio, but he did want to try and make it. I'm glad he was able to.
Cool.
Well, we've been having a fun night. If you have some downtime, listen to the playback. It was a pretty awesome show. I had some really cool recordings of swan poems, and I'm not going to be able to drop out Emily Dickinson, so I am going to play that out, and then I'm going to play the Swan Lake theme. I did plug your show. You're welcome to plug it yourself if you want to, but I did plug all the shows for the next week.
Yeah, it would be redundant for me to do it.
I think you need to put up more pictures because as she was, you know, plugging your show, she's like, I'll take that one.
that sounds good. It's fall colors, and they're her colors, so I'm not surprised by that at all.
She was just like, I'm going to close the window now.
I know. I had to step away because there was about, oh my gosh, don't make me laugh. There was about 5 minutes of me scrolling. Well, I like that one. I'm going to save that one. And then I'm like, well.
And then she's bragging to everyone. She's bragging to everyone. Bragging to everyone that, you know, I take collections, you know, when she's done, you know, whatever's left over, I'll take leftovers, you know. I just keep grabbing pictures. She's got a lot of good pictures. go claim your phone. Apparently you have to claim them before Sky gets there. Otherwise, it's like trying to comment on this guy because she'll take every line in the poem, too.
That's step two.
That happens a lot when at this time of year when I put up those colors. Like I said, that's like mahoganies and the stuff like that.
Those are my colors.
So I knew that they would. So I knew you would have a hard time picking, but sounds like you had a harder time than normal.
I did save one from this week. I just couldn't make it that late. This cold is really doing me in. But I did save the Beauty and the Beast stained glass window one, and I will bring in the IOU, and I'm hoping that this gets overdone with soon. But just so you know. Okay, we are over time. I'm very good about meeting my class. Yeah.
I'll either bring, if I can finish this one the way I was hoping, I'll bring two. If not, I'll figure it out. But I just wanted to say
that. Make it a brevity. That always, if ever I can, just make it brevity. don't force it. Oh my gosh, Deb, you brought on the cough because you're making me laugh. All right. I want to thank you, Deb, so much. Have a good night.
All right. Love and respect you guys.
You too. All right.
Night, Deb.
What am I doing? Let me see. I'm going to play these last two back to back. I love Emily Dickinson. I'm not going to make a comment. Anybody who knows me knows ever since I was little, she's been my favorite. And I think that's why I kind of adopted her line style. I think Sweet Pea messaged me the other day. She's like that thing you do with the slashes and the random stuff. I said, I can't. That's not mine. That's Emily Dickinson's style of writing. She just puts dashes wherever she wants, and that's what I do because I have spent all my lifetime reading her. But I am going to play Mary Oliver, who, by the way, is a brilliant poet. If you don't know her, check her out. I'm going to play these back-to-back, and then I'm going to lead out with the song, just because where the song is 5 minutes, and I'm not cutting the Swan Lake theme, period. So, first and foremost, thank you, Rack and Tour, for hanging out with me all night. And I know that you're not at the top of your game either. I gave you the sickness over the over the phone, I think. But thank you very much for a wonderful conversation and for being you. And thank you, AP Taylor. Double thank you for calling in and reading and for making that recording for me. Thank you, Deborah Lee, for calling in. And Hatter called in for like 2 seconds and then changed his mind. But thank you, Hatter, for showing some love. I'm sure he was listening. So thank you as well for that, Hatter. And I hope you guys enjoyed. All right, we're closing out. And with Mary Oliver, the swan, then and Emily, if they do say the name, but I'm a firm believer. She didn't name any of her poems, so I'm not going to say the name of it. It's just a poem by Emily Dickinson. And then, of course, Swan Lake.
All right. Thank you, Rakentor, so much.
Nighty-night.
Night.
The Swan by Mary Oliver. Did you too see it drifting all night on the Black River? Did you see it in the morning rising into the silvery air, an arm full of white blossoms, a perfect commotion of silk and linen as it leaned into the bondage of its wings, a snowbank, a bank of lilies, biting the air with its black beak? Did you hear it, fluting and whistling, a shrill, dark music like the rain pelting the trees, like a waterfall knifing down the black ledges? And did you see it, finally, just under the clouds, a white cross streaming across the sky, its feet like black leaves, its wings like the stretching light of the river? And did you feel it in your heart, how it pertained to everything? And have you too finally figured out what beauty is for? And have you changed your life?
I think I was enchanted. I think I was enchanted when first a somber girl, I read that foreign lady, the dark, felt beautiful. And whether it was noon at night, or only heaven at noon, for very lunacy of light, I had not power to tell. The bees became as butterflies, the butterflies as swans approached and spurned the narrow grass and just the meanest tunes that nature murmured to herself to keep herself in cheer, I took for giants, practicing titanic opera. The days to mighty meters stepped. The homeliest adorned as if unto a jubilee 'twere suddenly confirmed. I could not have defined the change. Conversion of the mind, like sanctifying in the soul, is witnessed, not explained. 'Twas a divine insanity, the danger to be sane, should I again experience this antidote to turn to tomes of solid witchcraft, magicians be asleep, but magic hath an element like deity to keep.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, everyone, again. And I will see you next week on Storyboards. And again, check the boards for upcoming shows.